This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Good morning, Melbourne. It is the tag team this morning with Hunter and Dave. And Harriet is still on holidays, but we promise you she's back next week, Dave.
Oh, she's back next week?
Exactly. It's only as far as we have to go. It is 21 minutes to 7. It's a 20 for a top of 26 today, which isn't too bad because it's looking pretty grim out there at the moment, isn't it?
It is looking a bit grim, but the hot air balloons are up and about, and so are we.
It's good in there. It looks grim out here, but it's very glamorous in here today because we have not one, but two of Melbourne's finest housewives coming live into the studio. It's Lydia Chavallo and Venus Bebahani Clark.
Oh!
She's a new one. I've been practicing that name.
And you are so excited. I can see it on your face. It is going to be a bumper show.
It is, guys. Dave, just looking at me closely now, have you missed me this week? Or
I've missed you a lot.
You have?
Yeah.
Because I've had a pretty wild week. I'm going to tell you all about that. And I've got here on the rundown that you're not doing very well at the gym, which is unusual because I'm looking at your stunning figure before me. So you're going to run us through
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. Always fun at the gym.
Oh, no, folks. Here comes Dave across the field. He's playing Whose Line Is It Anyway? He's playing Space Shop. He's playing Funny Hands. Dave, have you lost your mind? It's sport, not theatre sports. It's Dave Sports Wrap.
Thanks, Hunter. And Bernard Tomic, you know, is my man. He will not contest the Australian Open, with the 25-year-old electing not to take up the invitation for next week's wild card playoff.
That's a huge shame. I'm sure he would have done the nation very proud had he tried, Dave.
Come on, Tennis Australia, get your act together.
Is it Tennis Australia's fault, really? Look at the evidence. Moving along.
English Premier League, the rampant Manchester City beat crosstown rivals Manchester United 2-1 to go 11 points clear, and that is a massive gap. The Merseyside Derby, it was a 1-1 draw between Liverpool and Everton.
Woohoo!
And AFLW, I know you're all a big fan favourite.
For some waffle news.
The controversial last disposal out of bounds rule is set to be introduced in the AFLW next year. This rule has been well received in the two seasons of data, showing the games are more free flowing, which is a perfect setting
not
up.
Not a clue what that's about, Dave.
Perfect solution for setting up the second season of the AFLW.
And that was Dave Sports Wrap.
Joy.org.au.
Can I tell you about my bit of panic last night? So I've got home from work and I was absolutely wrecked. So I've hopped straight into bed. This is like 5:15 p.m.
You went to bed at 5:15 p.m.
Yes, I've hopped straight into bed.
Yeah.
And I've, had a bit of a nap time and whatever else. But then I woke up in a bit of a panic and I saw my phone was telling me that it was 6:58.
So you've been asleep for an hour, roughly.
Yes. However, I thought it was like 12 or 13 hours and I was thinking, oh no! I'm like the tag team.
Oh, because you meant to be at the radio.
Yes, I was thinking, oh no. So I'm trying to calculate in my head.
How far into the radio did you get?
Well, I was thinking about how, you know, can I get there for the 8 o'clock news? Can I get there for our guests after 8 o'clock? Is it worth coming in?
You know, whatever else. Lydia and Venus Bebahani Clark.
Yes, exactly. But then I started thinking, I've got no missed calls, no messages from Hunter saying, like, where are you? Or are you coming in? Or a thing. So I took it two ways. One, you just dominated radio by yourself, just on the panel. Just,
I appreciate that.
Yep, just getting phone calls coming in and just talking about yourself, which is nothing.
Not a huge change.
Not a huge change. But then I thought to myself, maybe I just don't have a big role in the tag team. Like, you know what, we've got these segments lined up. Harry, if Dave rocks up, we'll do that. If he doesn't, there's no big deal.
Yeah, I was like, I've got a couple of segments in the pipeline, but Harry's on holidays. All I need now is Dave to take a sick day, and I'm finally retreated.
Yes.
The true tag team in its true form.
What would you be talking about? And would it be called the tag team? Who are you tagging?
No, I mean, I'm joking. I did have to do half an hour of my own a couple of weeks ago, and it was very, very grim. So please don't ever sleep right through.
I thought with ABC dumping Red Simons that you'll be the replacement on ABC, just talking blah, 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 blah.
I think I wasn't a consideration, but they've yet to give me a call. I once woke up, did the exact same thing, had been asleep for 2 hours, woke up thinking it was time to get up, and had a shower in the lot. I was halfway out the door thinking, it's dark.
Yeah. It's about 9 p.m. So
the toughest part is that I actually wanted a few hours sleep, but I woke up and I've like increased my heart rate so quickly that I had to get up now.
It just shows that humans are stupid, isn't it? Although it happens to birds too. If there's ever a solar, this is a fun fact, mate. If there's ever a solar eclipse, the birds think it's nice time to go to bed. Then when the sun comes back up, they start chirping like idiots. Absolute idiots.
Joy.org.au.
Dave, I've got some bad news for you.
This might be good news for me.
It could be news, actually, because, you know, listeners would know you're unlucky in love. And as heading into Christmas, we're about to hit what they call dump day.
Ooh,
do you know what a dump day?
I do.
Data has shown that 2 weeks before Christmas Day is the day of the year when most couples decide to call it quits.
But also, studies show that the ice cream sales and tissue sales are also up in the round dump day too.
Probably for the same reason, you think. You're straight into it. Don't you think that's weird, though, that people want to be heartbroken over Christmas?
Yeah, I think it's a very strange time to break up. It's like one of those things where you just push through to the new year and then once the sort of January months come along and then you flick them
off. Get rid of them. Yeah. I thought that too, but it does make sense. There are a couple of theories. They reckon for new couples, some people may decide that they don't want their new squeeze to meet their family.
Oh, yes.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Like, it does.
If you know you're going to divorce someone, sorry, probably not divorce, that's a bit serious. If you know you're going to...
Well, it's possible now for same-sex couples.
If you know you're going to ditch somebody... then you don't want to have to go and introduce it to mum and dad a week later to be like, remember Pam? Well, she's old news, mate.
I see.
Pam was yesterday's love, mother. Get used to it or get out. You don't want to be saying
that. I like that.
And also, people that are a little tight with the purse strings, money-minded people, you don't want to spend money on a very expensive gift only to... chuck them out.
But also, on the other hand, if they are really a good gift buy, you might just hold on to them for a few more weeks, isn't it?
Get that Christmas present, get that Maserati,
and off you go into the sunset.
Get the Christmas present and get the receipt as well. That's what I'd say. But there is some good news, because the new year is a very common time to hook up with a new lover.
Can't wait.
Which is great. So January could be your month, babe.
I am waiting for all the rejects to break up from their relationship and I'll be thereabouts.
Hanging around like a Christmas vulture.
Yes, exactly. That's one of my favourite things. But what I like about this morning is that we're going to delve deeper into the life of Hunter and find out about what's some of your favourite things.
Yes, we're going to do. Next up, we're going to do. You've probably heard of Oprah's favourite things.
Yeah, we have.
Well, get ready for Hunter's favourite things. We're going to have to sound the bells because we're going to have a Christmas extravaganza.
Joy.org.au.
Dave, have you heard of a little someone called Oprah Winfrey? Eventually, she was meant to be called Orpah, but they spelt it wrong. Anyway, she has a thing called her favourite things. Is that her now? And I thought we should do Hunter's favourite things.
Yes! To get into the Christmas spirit, we're going to go through and ask Hunter what are his top five favourite things.
I'm going to give you the top five things, and if you're listening out there, you need to get out and get for your Christmas season, okay? Now, lots of companies and businesses around the world have been throwing their products at me, begging for an endorsement, but they're not going to get one because this is already preset and it's not commercially influenced here.
Just a disclaimer there for everyone.
Hunter's favourite things, number one, Dave. Any guesses?
Dave the Apprentice.
It's napping.
Woo! Yes!
Give it up for
napping. You can have a nap. You can have a nap. Everybody can have a nap.
Hey, remember when I saw Gail, Oprah's Gail in LA?
I think that's
when this idea really came to me. Gail looked into my eyes and I thought, I am the Australian Oprah Gail.
Yeah, you are.
Napping is great, mate. And this music is insane. Never do you need to nap more than on Christmas Day, hey? My second favourite thing?
Okay.
My new lunchbox.
Oh, yes.
Can't recommend it highly enough.
Yes.
Stop going to shops for lunches, guys. Just pack a lunchbox. You'll never be happier.
I can see your lunchbox being on one of those late night infomercials.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hunter's box.
Appreciate it. That was uncalled for. What do you want to put in that lunchbox? I'll tell you. Number three on Hunter's favourite things for 2017.
It is.
A roast chicken.
Yes.
I've recently rediscovered the roast chicken, and I've got to tell you, it's been life-changing. If you're a vegan or a vegetarian, just get a vegetable alternative, maybe a cabbage. Pop that in your lunchbox. What more could you want?
Also, unbranded roast chicken as well. We're not going to mention where to get the chicken from, just a chicken.
Absolutely, any chicken. Yeah, just go and catch one. That's fine. Number four, dinosaurs. A lot of people think they're just for kids, but I think they're still pretty cool. So
dinosaurs!
Let's give it up for dinosaurs.
Wow.
And last but not least, it's another food-related one.
Oh, okay, no surprises there.
It's not very glam.
Chocolate muffin.
It's porridge.
Oh, there you go.
The porridge is, you know, olden days, or maybe for olden people, but I tell you, I have it every day and it's quite delicious.
And there you go. And there's nothing wrong with you at all.
Joy.org.au.
Speaking of the festive season, Dave, it is tis the season for the work Christmas party coming up, isn't it? And, you know, Christmas party, they can kind of go either way, don't you think?
I off our Christmas party from about March, April. I eyed off. I eyed off from about March, April.
Oh, really? Yeah, start counting down?
Yeah, pretty much.
Does your work joint do a big do?
They do a big do on the last day. So we sort of go in for a few hours and we start at midday. Yeah.
That's dangerous.
With a bit of game of cricket, bit of elbow bending, with glasses in the hands. They could go two ways.
Do you always keep yourself neat, or what's your Christmas party approach?
I try and keep it a bit of banter. I talk to a lot of the staff members and stuff like that, but I generally well behaved.
In my case, there's always one or two people in the office that I know it is an absolute death sentence to get stuck with at a party. Ooh. Do you have one of them?
Oh, yeah, we've got one.
But avoid them at all
costs. I can't believe this guy. I won't name him or anything. I don't think he's a big listener on the show. But he had a bit of a nightmare at last year's Christmas party. Like, he was abusing not only other staff members, but stealing their drinks. I think he may have possibly even snuck in a bit of a death threat to the managing director.
No. What are you talking about?
Yes.
No.
Yes, 100%.
Was he fired?
Well, we don't know exactly what happened over that Christmas period, but there was a resignation, there was a sacking, there was a resignation, and a reinstatement. So
he's back.
He's back. He's had a great year.
He's one of our best.
Yeah,
what a year he's had, from zero to hero.
But I find it funny, we kicked him out of the Christmas party at one stage, and everybody thought, he can relax a little bit. Everybody was on edge, relax a little bit. Half an hour later, you see this taxi driving up to the Christmas party with him in the back seat with his window. It was like a villain that we've killed, and he's back to kill us again.
Like Scream 3.
Yes.
There are people that are sort of notorious for wrecking themselves at the Christmas party. I had that a couple of years ago. Two women bailed up in the toilets, just really venting their spleen after a year of office tension.
Yeah.
Nothing rings in the new year like a venting of a spleen, does it?
Joy.org.au.
Now, guys, you may have felt things get a little more glamorous just now over the radio, and that's because we are joined live in the studio by two of Melbourne's finest Real Housewives. It's Lydia and Venus. Welcome, ladies.
Good morning. How are you?
We're very well. And you have brought, Lydia, a very, very special guest with you in today. Tell us who it is.
Mr. Figaro.
Yes. Your puppy. Is he, what sort of dog is Figaro?
Puppy. He's 9 years old.
Is he?
Yes.
Wow.
He's still quite miniature.
Yeah. Well, because he's an Italian greyhound.
Right.
We adults usually grow, but dogs stay
the same.
Stay the same forever. Perfect.
Absolute full house in the studio. Lydia, we've just started the new season of Housewives. Enjoying it. You're a pro at these days.
Okay.
Are you still shocked by what you see, what goes to air on the show?
Yes, I am, actually. I am. I've got the lovely, gorgeous Venus here beside me, and I think she sort of gets quite shocked as well. Look, I'm shocked with some of the language, actually. It's really quite disgusting. But, you know, that's some of the women, it's how they roll.
And take us through, like, do you watch it in the same way each week? So have you seen the episode when it goes to air, and do you watch it with a group, or do you just lock down on your own and watch
it? We've had to watch the episodes beforehand because we're actually filming the reunion soon.
So
we have to know what goes on. But every week, you know, I have a house full of people and I feed them on a Wednesday at 8:30 and we sit down and watch, you know, Housewives. Yeah. So
I think if it was I'd be wrapped up in a blanket watching
them. I'm still talking.
My apologies, Lydia.
That's the first time that's ever happened on the tag team. The hunter's been told to shut up.
I didn't say that. No, but we keep reliving it. So it's actually a lot of fun.
Excellent. Can I go now?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Venus, you're brand new this year, and I have to say, I'm not sure what took the producers so long to find you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I want to talk about your housewife tagline. So for those who don't know, at the start of the episode, you all spin around and give us an excellent one-liner. Do you know what yours is?
Yes, I do know what mine is.
Of course she does.
But we get given some taglines that we choose from.
Well, I was going to say, it's not often.
We don't actually come up with our own tagline.
Oh, some of us do.
Well, I didn't. Mm. I didn't come up with my own tagline. I had something else in mind, but I had obviously the planet and the hot thing added to it. So I wanted something a little bit
different. That's cool, though.
Well, I was going to say, it's not often that you learn something from a tagline. So, Venus, yours is, when you're named after the hottest planet, things are sure to get fiery.
Yes.
Did anybody here know that Venus was the hottest planet?
Yes.
Yes, I knew it was.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. As in, oh, Year 10 science. I was A grade there. We've done a bit of brainstorming. You've come up with one for yourself, haven't you, Hunter?
Yeah, do you want to hear mine, ladies? That'll be practicing this morning.
Oh, yeah, I love that, Hunter.
Okay, here it is. I may have trained as a junior ballroom dancer in Pakenham, but I won't dance around the issue.
Be honest.
That's
very cool.
I think
you need to join our crew with
tagline. I could do it. Me and Figaro could have a tagline.
Dave, have you thought about yours?
No.
Put him on the spot here.
I've talked about that. We've done the hours of brainstorming, and you put me on the spot. I don't know. Maybe you guys can come up with one for me. Single, lovely, attractive gay guy?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Is that it?
That could just be
I'm David. Now, of course, we've lost a few ladies from this series. Lydia, let's start with which of the dearly departed women will you miss at least, the least?
Either of them.
Either of them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Susie was just a nutcase.
Ooh.
I didn't like her at all. Cheeks, whatever she does, and PF. You know, she's actually missed the most, I think, because she was very, very funny. But, we've got a great cast.
I think Penny Flair, she really brought the drama, but that would have been hard work in real life, right?
Yeah, she was. She was hard work. But, look, I really, really am enjoying the new girls. V here next to me is just the bomb.
And V, had you followed the series before you joined it?
I watched season one, and then I had so much going on in my life that I really didn't have much time for television,
bragging,
to be honest. No, honestly.
No, she's got kids.
I've got two young kids. Married. I had just broken up.
Slapped me, sorry.
I'd just broken up from a long-term relationship, and I was just travelling a lot and pursuing so many things, and I really didn't get time to... I was watching Gina and what Gina was doing, because Gina's a good friend of mine, and I was watching her from afar, all the achievements, but I wasn't watching the series. I then commenced watching season two and season three after I was cast for the show.
Boy,
did I see what an improvement, what an amazing show it had become, because season one was so new. And I really didn't know much about the Real Housewives chain at that time. But, boy, when I watched season two and three, I thought, what a fantastic show.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And that's why I decided to join.
We've got Lydia, Venus and Figaro from the Real Housewives of Melbourne. Now, guys.
Good morning.
This is the first season, I believe, where the Sydney series has already aired. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so did you feel they had to up the ante? Because they copped a bit of flack for being a bit over the top, right?
I think they started over the top. They kind of started saying, oh, my God, we're going to be the best housewives. We're going to shit all over Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then they kind of took the shit out of themselves.
I think they started so high there was nowhere to go.
Look, can I say, I think all the Sydney housewives are really amazing women. You know, top women, great casting. However, I think what it actually has happened there is, you know, they were starting, instead of starting at season one, they thought, my God, we have to match the Housewives of Melbourne. So they anted it up to, you know, our season three.
Yeah,
where
ratchet
they should
right
have,
up.
You know, started, because think about it, a lot of the people and viewers actually know our personalities now. You know, they know I have an Andrew, I've got kids, I've been married in Florence, I've got Mr. Figaro, you know. So no one actually knew anything about Nicole or Lisa or Athena or any of the, you know, Victoria. So they just went really gung-ho at the start. So
yeah.
I think if they... But you know what? I think you guys are really going to be shocked at hopefully the next season, because
I think
the recipe has really, really changed.
Excellent.
I think
like
some
that.
Of the women kind of started making it a competition, whereas the others, the ones that were enjoyable to watch, they didn't treat it as competition.
Oh, and you don't think there's competition in our series?
No. Just commencing, comparing Sydney, Melbourne.
Oh, right.
Between the two.
You're not saying Venus is going to be nice as pie in Melbourne. It's not all sunshine and picnics.
It's very rare that Sydney beat Melbourne in anything. So
yeah, that's right. We can't have that going at all. Now, ladies, just before we let you go, Venus, you're brand new to the series, and Lydia,
yes,
we do know you, but we thought it'd be nice to get to know you both a little bit more in the most glamorous way possible.
Yes.
Beauty pageants, okay?
Yes.
So I'm going to ask each of you a pageant question.
Yes.
And then Dave is going to crown,
ooh,
who is Miss Melbourne.
Judge, okay. Dave.
Ooh.
Okay, so Lydia first. I'm going to go with you. Lydia, representing Melbourne, who is the most influential person in your life, not including Figaro?
In my life, my mother actually influences me hugely, and our governor, Linda Dessa, I love.
Oh, really? Why is that?
I've known of her for a very long time. Our children, Joshua and my daughter Monique, went to school together, so I've known Linda for a very long time, and Tony and the kids. And she's just sensible, amazing, genuine. She's just so humble, and she just knows. She's just got it. I love Linda.
That was an excellent answer.
Yeah, we love Linda as well.
Halfway to the tiara with that. Here you go. Now, Venus Bebahani Clark. Have I got that right? I've been
You've
practicing
got it
all
right.
morning.
Excellent. Perfect.
Now, is that a housewife name or not? It was like you were born to be a housewife. Venus, representing the eastern suburbs. If you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would ask for and why?
So what does the eastern suburbs and the wand have to do with it?
Oh, no, I was just you were just representing the eastern suburbs.
Yes.
I mean, you can
if I had a magic wand, what would I do with that magic wand? I'd try and help the HIV epidemic.
What an answer.
I mean, with Victoria being the largest epidemic of HIV in the country, I would try and do something about it.
Magic that away.
With that bloody magic wand.
Well, that's too
that makes my job very tough. That makes my job very tough.
Who are you going to go for?
How can I not go with Venus with that answer? It's on Joy. I have to go with...
That's
well,
right.
Venus, you've strong-armed him into a win.
Yeah, I'll give Lydia one opportunity to sneak me a little $20 note that I might decide.
Well, guys, you can catch Lydia and Venus on The Real Housewives of Melbourne, which airs on Foxtel's Arena at 8:30 on Wednesday night. Lydia and Venus, thank you so much for joining us.
Joy.org.au.
Lee Carney is a lawyer in the LGBTI rights unit at the Human Rights Law Centre, and they've been at the coalface of marriage equality, and we are very lucky to have Lee join us now. Welcome, Lee.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Now, marriage equality is finally law in Australia as of last Thursday. How was the moment for you being so close to it in your role?
It was incredible. Anna Brown and I were sitting in the chamber as it finally happened, as the vote occurred, and just to have four people on one side of the chamber voting no, and to have so many MPs on the other side of the chamber that they didn't even have enough seats for them all to sit down. And it was just an incredible moment, and there were so many people. We'd packed out every single seat in the public gallery with marriage equality supporters who were jumping for joy, who started singing, who were clapping, and you know, there were so many tears in the house, but for once it was for a good reason.
Now, take us a little bit behind the curtain on the singing, Lee, okay? Because that was great to watch. But who was in charge of it? How did you know what you're going to sing? How were you across the lyrics? How did that happen?
Well, as with anything with the LGBTI community, there was much debate on exactly what was going to happen. and the song choices, you should have heard them.
So I think
Zabansky, she suggested Advance Australia Fair. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, well, you know, not sure about Advance Australia Fair. Lots of people thought, oh, what about Somewhere Over the Rainbow? But then there was a fairly, you know, strong argument that it's quite difficult to sing and we're not all very good singers.
That's right.
We could go for something a bit easier. And I think the idea behind it was we want something that is really a unifying moment, like what happened in the New Zealand Parliament, something that brings together all Australians after the, you know, the kind of the divisiveness of the postal survey. I should say that a lot of the discussion I wasn't part of because we were still trying to focus on knocking down the amendments in the House. But there was a flurry of discussion, and I think eventually, in the end, a lot of people were really happy. And even though a lot of people said, you know, that's a bit hokey or it's a bit corny, they still bawled their eyes out when we were singing it. So
Absolutely.
Was the song Locomotion ever featured in the discussion?
That would have been amazing. There were some pretty funny ones that were suggested as well. But, I think in the end we could only sing one song. So
excellent. Now, hey, Lee, obviously we've had a great end to the year. When you look back over the year, what was the point where you really started to think that marriage equality was possible in 2017?
Oh, I think for me it was the 15th. And a lot of people have said that, you know, it had a very different feeling November the 15th, because this was when we got confirmation that the majority of Australians had voted yes. And for a lot of people, that was a more emotional moment, because once that had happened, you know, there was this really strong sense that we couldn't be silenced now and it couldn't be stopped. And there was so much momentum that it really had to go through from there. So I think that was the moment for me. But the actual moment was when it went through in the House. and yeah, I think even though we knew the numbers would be strong, our main concern was about the amendments. We were really worried, and some of the amendments were quite close. They were only voted down by 9 votes, so it was all down to the wire until the last second.
Now, was listening to Bob Catter carry on about rubbish one of the most painful times for you?
Yeah, that was a moment. It was the end of a long day. I think he spoke at about 10:30, and he was the last of 150 MPs who had mostly been very gracious and respectful. And it was really difficult, I think, for a lot of us who were watching to you know, just sit there silently and absorb. And it was really wonderful. Warren Ent the next day came up to Anna Brown and I and said, you know, I really need to, I've been thinking about it all night. I've been thinking about it, and, you know, we can, you know, try and ignore it, and we can try and dismiss him as a joke, but I really think we need to call it out and say that it's unacceptable and say that he is in the minority and he's not representative of the majority of views. And so then in his first speech the next morning, wrapping up the second reading speeches, Warren very strongly spoke about the fact that, you know, it wasn't okay, it was cringeworthy, it was offensive, it was humiliating, and we shouldn't have had to have listened to it. And so having that kind of support from, you know, a politician who's been campaigning for this for years, who's a, you know, far north Queensland crocodile hunter, you know, it was really amazing to see just how far everyone had come. And in that moment, that it was almost strange that we felt like, oh, well, we're not the only ones fighting this. It really is other people who've been thinking about this and who really understand that, you know, talking about, you know, the kind of the most offensive things that Bob Catter said about, you know, kind of gay people infecting children with HIV/AIDS, that's just really unacceptable in 2017.
Absolutely. Now, Lee, just before we let you go, do you know, can you tell us, when is the first date that gay couples or same-sex couples will be able to marry in Australia?
It's the 9th of January.
9th of January.
9th of January, I should say. So it's already gone through. You can already lodge your notice of motion. That started on Saturday. But what happens is you have to give a 28-day notice of your intention to marry. But if you are in a situation where it would cause you hardship to have to wait that long, there is discretion from the registrar to waive that period. So I think there's some couples where they're both, you know, they've been together for 50 years and they're both in their 90s. So yeah, they could probably apply to get that waived. Cool. Exactly.
Yeah. Dave, we should do it as a radio stunt, maybe next Tuesday morning. It'd be harsh. A bit of joy promotion.
Is that the reason why we fought for marriage equality?
Yeah. A bit of a radio stunt. Lee Carney from the Human Rights Law Centre, thank you so much for joining us and congratulations.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.